So our Lenten theme this year is the way. Many of you know it's inspired by passages in Scripture that talk about journey and roads. And with this theme, the idea of pilgrimage comes to mind. And one of the images or stories that we're using to flesh out this theme is the movie The Way. The Way tells the story of a traveler named Tom, a father. Tom walks the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James, which is a pilgrimage route that begins in the border of France and ends on the coast of Spain. And Tom takes this journey to complete the journey that his son, Daniel, began. Daniel began the journey, but didn't get to complete it because he was killed in a storm along the way. At one point during the movie, Tom is riding on a train and he has this flashback where he remembers driving Daniel to the airport. He has just learned that Daniel has quit graduate school and plans to travel around the world. Tom, his dad, doesn't think this is the best choice in the world. So let's watch the clip.
You should fly with me.
What?
You should fly with me.
Yeah, right.
Turn the car around, pack a bag, grab your passport, forget your golf clubs. Come on, a father-son trip. It'll be fun.
When you coming back?
I don't know.
So you don't have a plan?
We agreed that if I let you take me to the airport, you wouldn't lecture me about how I'm ruining my life.
I lied. You know, most people don't have the luxury of just picking up and leaving it all behind, Daniel.
Well, I'm not most people. If I don't have your blessing, that's fine. But don't judge this. Don't judge me.
My life here might not seem like much to you, but it's the life I choose.
You don't choose a life, Dad. You live one.
Doesn't understand Daniel's choice to quit school and travel the world, and in many ways Daniel doesn't understand his dad's choice of a life either, but Daniel chooses to do it anyway, going against his father's wishes. And I was wondering this week, have you ever had the experience of being misunderstood by a family member or a good friend? Have you ever had to bypass the expectations of others in order to do what you felt called to do? At some point in our lives, most of us will have to make a decision that other people don't understand. Perhaps they have some preconceived notion of what we should be doing with our life or who we are, and for some reason they just can't shake that image of us. They can't imagine that God might be calling us to do or be something different. Well, in the final weeks of his life, Jesus is making his way toward Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, he is stopping in each village along the way and teaching the people. And in our passage of scripture for today, Jesus is doing just that. He's teaching the people. And while he's teaching, the Pharisees approach him with this warning: get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, as an aside, just make note of this. Christians often assume that all Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders of the day, are corrupt and that they're bad guys and they're out to get Jesus. We often have that assumption. But at different times in the gospel, some of the Pharisees are pretty open to Jesus. And in this passage, they're even trying to protect him. So just make note of our preconceived notions. Herod, on the other hand, is not trying to protect Jesus. He's out to get Jesus. This is Herod Antipas. He is the son of Herod the Great. And when his father died, he inherited part of his territory. This is the same Herod who recently imprisoned and then beheaded John the Baptist. Herod Antipas is a nasty guy. Jesus seems to have no use for him. As far as we know, Jesus never enters the two capital cities that Herod used while Jesus was alive. Even though they were really important cities in that area, Jesus just totally avoids them. I think Jesus knows that his mission and Herod's mission are completely opposed to one another. Jesus is calling the people back to God. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God. The only kingdom that Herod proclaims, well, probably is the kingdom of Herod. But he also proclaims the kingdom of Rome because he wants to Romanize the Jewish people. He wants all that power and authority that Rome would bring. So he is really aligned with Rome and against anybody who might proclaim any other kingdom, even the kingdom of God. So when the Pharisees come to Jesus and say, Herod wants you dead, Jesus retorts, tell that fox, I don't have time for him right now. Jesus isn't intimidated by Herod. I would have been intimidated by Herod. He's just beheaded Jesus' cousin. But Jesus doesn't back down, and he goes on to say, today and tomorrow I'm busy clearing out demons and healing the sick, and then on the third day I'm going to wrap things up. Jesus is clear about his mission. He's focused on his ministry. He has people to heal and a message to proclaim. Jesus, of course, mentions the third day, and it foreshadows his resurrection and his death. Jesus is moving toward Jerusalem, the city of David, the place where many of the great prophets of God have been ignored or hated or killed. The prophet Jeremiah is an example. He was thrown into a muddy cistern in Jerusalem and left there to die. Jesus is now journeying toward a worse fate, and he seems to know it, but he is undeterred by it. He's clear about who he is and about what God wants from him. Not even the threats of Herod the fox can divert him. Many people along the way try to deter Jesus from his path. They don't understand. They don't get his decisions. They don't agree with his choices. For instance, Mark chapter 3, you remember, his own family suspects that he's getting a little carried away, and they come and try to take him by force, the Bible says, from public life. And then in John chapter 6, it records how the people, the crowd, try to come and force Jesus to be king. In this passage, Herod is seeking to deter Jesus by killing him. Many people along the way try to derail Jesus from his mission. But he has a vision, a dream, God's dream about who he is and what his life is going to be about. And it's clear that he will do what he feels called to do no matter what. Jesus doesn't try to meet the expectations of others. Instead, he focuses on God's expectations for him, his mission of redemption and love. Sometimes, I think we face a somewhat similar challenge. At some point in most of our lives, most of us will have to make a decision or a choice that others just don't understand. We have to go ahead and claim who we are, claim who God is calling us to be, make the choice that we feel God is leading us to make. Go ahead and dream what we will dream. Sometimes that involves taking the way around or bypassing what others think we should be and do. When have you had to find your way around the expectations of others? Now for me, I know you all have heard this, but for me, answering the call to ministry was a time that I certainly had to go ahead and claim who I felt like God was calling me to be when some people around me didn't understand it. You all know that I grew up in a very traditional, rural Baptist church. I never once in all my years growing up heard a woman preach or even pray out loud in church. Never. Yet when I was in college, I felt called to the ministry. I felt like I had to embrace what God was calling me to do. I don't think you guys have heard this part of the story, which is kind of a funny part of the story. When I was in seminary, I remember clearly the day that I called my parents to tell them that I was going to be ordained. My parents were super gracious, because that's just who they are. But they didn't argue with me, but they did say, "You know that we don't agree with you, right? That's not what we believe." And then my dad said, "You know, though, we raised you to believe that you could be whatever you wanted to be." To which I replied, "Yes, but you were thinking I would be president, not pastor." And he said, "Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind." Now, my parents are very supportive of me now, proud of me. They would say that. They've told me that many times. But at that moment in seminary, I had to make a choice to claim who I felt like God was calling me to be, to go around others' expectations for my life. Jesus certainly faces and deals with people's expectations about who he's supposed to be, what his ministry is supposed to be about, but he goes ahead and claims what God has for him. At every stage of life, I think we face this choice. Young adults sometimes feel pressured by their parents to go into certain careers or to date this person over that person. Median adults perhaps feel pressured by society to make the choice to raise their kids a certain way or climb the corporate ladder a certain way. Senior adults often feel pressured by their kids to live a certain way. Or perhaps I think sometimes for senior adults, they feel pressured to maybe stop dreaming. Like the message we send senior adults is, "You're too old to dream new dreams." But we have to go ahead and claim who we think God is calling us to be, to claim that dream. And sometimes that involves taking the way around, bypassing what others think we should be and do. I love this litany in your bulletin called Dreams. And I want to invite you to take it out. Because sometimes I feel like when we read something in worship the first time, we're just trying to read it. We're not really absorbing what it says. So I'm going to invite you to read it with me again. "Remember waking up with a dream that held you in its power. Do you believe your dream could come true, or did you dismiss your dream as wishful thinking? Treasure the dreams God sent you. Let them shape your life. Where your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. A world where their daytime dreams are blessed and their nightmares are no more. A world where people are not judged by the color of their skin. A world where we no longer see in a mirror dimly, but face to face with Jesus Christ, who dares us to dream God's dream. we prepared a feast at the table.